This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness and your love. And we thank you, Lord, that we get to be here, we get to worship your name, we get to sing of your praises, Lord. And as we continue worshiping your name, Lord, even in the preaching and hearing of your word, we pray that may you bless us and may you bless our hearts and may our hearts be softened, Lord, to receive your word that is there for us today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, good afternoon. We can do better than that. Good afternoon. Thank you. Fantastic. Okay, so I'm Geoffrey, for those who don't know me. That's my name. And today I want us to look at God on a mission. A few months ago, I think, probably in March, I'd preached earlier, and my title of my sermon was The Gospel is Not God's Plan B. And we did that by looking at a few verses from the Old Testament to see some shadows of the Old Testament. And I'll just recap with one that we saw, which was taken from Exodus chapter 17, verse 5 to 6. It says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand the rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink.'" And for those who are there, but I'll just give a short recap. When we read this verse, we said this is a picture that we see fulfilled in the New Testament with Christ, because you see here God telling Moses to take the rod, and on this instance, this rod he referred to as the rod with which he struck the now. And striking the now was a sign of, when he did strike the now, he provided water, or he made the water for the Egyptians to become red so that they couldn't drink that water anymore. It was a sign of punishment on the people of Egypt at that time. And he took that rod, and the key phrase there was, "I will stand before you there on the rock," which is in verse 6. And he says, "You strike the rock." Essentially, God was telling Moses to strike God himself as a sign of punishment. And after that, water came out of the rock, and the people could drink from the water that was provided. This is exactly what we see in the New Testament with Jesus coming on. He was on the cross, and God struck him with our sins. He died and rose again. And because he died, we are able to live as well. And there are so many other verses that you can find in the Old Testament which show a shadow of Jesus and his suffering and his death on the cross for us. But then one question that will arise is, if we can see the gospel in the Old Testament, then I guess we should also be able to see missions, right? Because in Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to 15, just the first part of 15, we read, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent?" So we see God sends people to take the gospel. And also, if the gospel is in the Old Testament, then we can expect to find stories of people who are sent by God to spread the gospel. And that's what we'll do today. We'll just look at one short example, which is very familiar to us, and that would be the example of Abraham. But just to solidify this idea that missions did exist also in the Old Testament, I just want us to refer to Matthew chapter 15, verse 15. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves." So we can blame the scribes and Pharisees in the way that they handled the situation, because Jesus is telling them, like, woe to you. But still, we see he's telling them that because they used to do something, and which was to travel across sea and land to make a proselyte. And this is just a person who just converts from one belief or religion to another. And they could do that, like travel sea and land, you know, these are old days, and they used to do that. And this is in chapter 23 that we read this. And the Great Commission is given in chapter 28 of Matthew. So these guys were doing this, going across land and seas, before Jesus sent them through the Great Commission. Regardless of whether they did it in the right way or not, they still had that idea of going across to make people, to convert them to the religion that they believed to be true. So look at Abraham, and this is a very familiar story to all of us, I think. Abraham being sent from his land, from his family, to go into a land that was promised to him. And we find the story in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So, as I said, I think for most of us this is quite familiar. But this quote for Abraham was quite significant. It's quite different from the quotes that we get today. Abraham was to leave the country that he's grown up in, his family and everything, and to go. But in a way, Abraham's call was not only to go, but to live. And I'll try to make us understand this quite briefly. So before Abraham, there were no Israelites. Abraham is a father, and through him, we get the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. So when God was calling Abraham to go, essentially, here's the things that had to change in Abraham's life. First, he had to leave his country, the country that he had grown up in. I think we do that. I look around here and there's so many people I believe are from different countries. And I imagine myself, God telling me, Geoffrey, let's move to a different country. I want to use you for my kingdom's sake. I'll be like, sure. I mean, the Netherlands, I can do it again, right? Abraham was also to leave his family. Geoffrey, leave your country, leave your family. I'll be like, my family is crazy anyway. I can leave them. They're not crazy. They're nice people. But I'm here abroad. I can leave my family. I can leave them and go to a different country. I'll change your name. Abraham had to change his name from Abraham to Abraham. Geoffrey, I'll give you a new name. I'll be like, that's cool, right? Geoffrey 2.0, you know, like an upgrade version of Geoffrey, maybe with like a bit taller and like a six-pack. That's like water in the Netherlands. You know, like my six-pack, I have one, but it's like diamond. It's very hard to see, find and stuff. So, like, you know, just a good version of Geoffrey and everything like that. I'd be like, God, that bring it on. But there's another important thing in which God was going to make an entire ethnic group out of Abraham. That meant he was going to be separated from that culture and ethnic group that he'd grown up in. And it's very hard to understand this. The way I picture it to myself is now God coming to me and telling me, Geoffrey, you have to leave your country. Cool. You have to leave your family. I can do that, maybe. You have to change your name. Sure. But you also have to not be black. Be like, how is that even possible? Like, I mean, I'm black, right? And I love being black. I love black people. They're a bit noisy, but I can get around with them and everything. But he had to change that as well. This is not something that most of us would be called to in our lives. We might be called to a different country, but a call for Abraham was quite significant. He had to leave a lot of things. And why did God go through all this trouble of making Abraham leave everything that is known to be this new person that was calling him for? We do find the answer to that in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, which we just read, it says, I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And the last part says, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That was the reason that God decided to strip Abraham of everything that he had known before, to strip him of his family, to take him to a land that he had not been to, actually. And he wasn't even told beforehand, like, I'm going to take you to this land, these are the directions. He didn't know that. It's like going to Schiphol, and you're like, where are you going? And you're like, well, I'll figure it out when I get there. Like, how? How is that even possible? And but God had a vision on him to see the families of the earth to be blessed. The families of the earth are the nations. It's you and I. It's just not like families of the Deccan or whatever. It's the families, as in the nations of the earth, to be blessed. And this blessing, it's not only material things and everything, but it's a blessing of knowing the true and living God. This was the blessing that God intended to show through Abraham. And we also have the same core, I guess. We read in the Great Commission, we've been told to go and spread this gospel. But sometimes I feel we might not feel like we're adequate enough for us to do that. And I think it's similar that in the same way that God chose Abraham and later on the nation of Israel to be his representative people for all the nations, I think we can learn something from it. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 9 to 10, it says, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his words, then all the peoples of the nations shall see and that you are called by my name, and they shall be afraid of you. That's also like the Lord telling the nation of Israel that because he's called them, he's going to bless other people through him. And in Joshua chapter 4, verse 23 to 24, we read, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. For that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. That's always been the mission, that God chooses us, God chose Abraham, God chose the people of Israel to make his nation great. So we can now start to bring this down to ourselves. For the past few years, I've been like helping out with like set up here and everything. And from time to time, I get to set up this banner. And I don't know if you guys have taken time to read what's there, but on it is like our mission, our vision rather, which is to reach the nations and generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. So I love it that's embedded in our vision, like what Shofar wants to do here, and I guess all the Shofar churches everywhere, it's that core vision of seeing the gospel spread through the different areas of the world. And I just want us to reflect on this, like, let's take it now personal, like, how are we doing when it comes to the Great Commission? There are different ways in which people can be sent. I know, like, Michal, for example, he travels the world, he's traveled the world to preach the gospel, but for most of us, we'll probably never get that call to leave our country and go to another place, let alone get a call as significant as the one for Abraham. But there's something cool that happened in our age in which we're able to travel quite a lot. So like if you look around here, you see people from so many different countries. I know there's some South Africans, of course, South Africans, so many of them here. South Africans, Ghana, Nigeria, I see India, and so many other different countries. And they are all coming here. So they come here, so some of them for just a short period of time, and then they leave. And the Great Commission is kind of, you are in one place, and you spread out to spread the gospel. But what we have here happening is that people coming here, And after a short period of time, they spread out into the different areas that they came from. And the question that I want to ask is, first, to those of us who are here for like medium to long term, like what are we doing with these people who come in and leave after a short period of time? Because if we preach the gospel to them, if we follow like this vision that we have of like disciple making through leadership training, in which we get these people, they come here and we equip them with the word of God, and then they spread and go to the different countries which from which they came from, we are kind of spreading the gospel in a sense, because I will not be able to probably go to Nigeria. But if God sends a Nigerian person here and I help them to see the gifts that God has given into their lives, and we train them, we make them able to make other disciples, then they leave and they go to that country, they'll be a witness where they go. But also, for the people who come here for only a short period of time, and I'm looking at some of you here right now, and I know in 2, 3 weeks or a couple of months, you leave and you go to whatever country that you came from. What are you doing in the meantime that you are here to make sure that you can carry out this great commission, to make sure that you are equipped with the skills, with the knowledge, such that when you go back to wherever God is going to send you, you'll be able to make an impact for the people that you meet there. This does not replace the great commission that we have of actually going and spreading around. Like, it is good for us to send people. Like, intentionally, missionaries, we send them and they go out and plant a church. But also, as I said, for some of us, we might not be able to do that. But what we can do in the moment is to have a chance to impact the people that God sends to us, so that when they go and spread out in different countries, they can spread the gospel of Christ. And as I said before, Israel was chosen, and even us were chosen, but sometimes we might feel we are not adequate enough to do this. And in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 5, we read, "Not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart are you going in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you, that he may confirm the word that the Lord saw to your father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." So just from the first part, it's not because of the righteousness of the Israelites, so Jacob or Isaac or Abraham, that these guys were chosen to spread the gospel. It's just because God saw it fit in that time to choose one nation through which he can spread the gospel to other people. And even for us, when it comes back to us, God chooses us to spread the gospel, not because we are so cool or because we're so tall or we can talk eloquently or anything like that. It's because he caused us to spread the gospel to other people. It's his choice. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10, we read, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you are not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received." I think it was just yesterday at Encounter One, I was like talking to Michael again, like during one of the breaks that we had. And I think we're talking about how it is like you can go to a different country, probably you don't speak their language, and you maybe want to go to that church, and there's just that thing that happens that you kind of feel connected to those people. I have it sometimes as well, like, there are not so many Zambians here. I'm a Zambian myself, and there are not so many Zambians here. But from time to time, I can meet a Zambian, and you start talking to them and everything. But like after I've exhausted complaining about the food, the weather, and politics, there's not so much you can talk about anymore. You really can't make those connections. But you can meet a Christian, regardless of their culture, regardless of where they come from and the language that they speak. And there's just that fellowship, sweet fellowship that you have with them, because you've been like changed, you know, you've been transformed in a similar way, and we've been made into a nation. And because of that, we have been chosen to like spread the gospel of Christ. We are like one people in the same way that it happened for Abraham, that he had to leave his family, he had to leave everything that he knew. For us as well, when God calls us, he changes us and makes us into this people, a people group, for which we can connect with other people groups regardless of where we go. But as we stand united together, we can spread the gospel of Christ. And we're chosen to do that not because of anything in us, not because we're smart, not because we've deserved it or anything, but God lays his blessings on us, and so it sees his fit for him to do that. And as I said before, we are chosen to spread the gospel just so that the name of God might fill the whole earth, that people recognize him and people worship him and bow down to him. And it's great that when we do this, it's like God has himself, he knows that this is going to happen. It's not like he wishes it to happen or he's like betting on it. In Psalm chapter 46, verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." I think that part is quite well known to us. But the latter part says, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And it's not like I might be, or I hope to, or I wish I could be. It says, "I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth." And God calls us on this mission. Because the essence of missions is like we go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. And why are we telling them that? It's because we want them to know this Christ and worship him and praise his name. So we spread that out. And God is like, "Yeah, I know, be still and know that I'm God. And I'm going to be exalted among the nations. And I'm just inviting you on this journey of spreading the gospel to the world. One of my favorite verses, which is also linked to this one, is in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. It says, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Again, just confirms of how God knows with certainty that there's nothing that will come in the way of distracting his plans that we have. Because the statement that "I will build my church and nothing shall prevail against it" is not something that can be made by someone who depends on others for building materials. God knows that he's going to do this, and he's just calling us on board to spread the gospel to other people. So this call we've had springs from, like, in Genesis, you get it already. And in the Old Testament, we have this call of spreading the gospel to other nations. And we too have been invited to spread the good news to other nations. And for some of us, it would be like maybe Dekan and Renee, who've been sent to a different country. And for others, it might not be the case. It might just be that we spread the gospel to those just in our vicinity, in our same countries. But still, we should have that same, reaction to God's call. The Great Commission was given to all of us. It wasn't just given to special apostles or those who are closer to Jesus. It was given to the entire church to go out and make disciples. And I just pray that when we get that conviction that God is calling us to spread the gospel, that we'll not question him so much, but maybe in the words of David Livingstone, and I might paraphrase here, but he said something like, "Lord, send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. And sever any tie in my heart, except the tie that binds my heart to yours. That we are excited when God tells us to go to a different country, or to just share the gospel to the people around us. But there's also another side of the story. In Genesis chapter 1, you get the story of creation. God creates the heavens and the earth and everything in it. In Genesis chapter 2, God creates man, he creates Adam and Eve. And in Genesis chapter 3, not long after that, man sins. We sin, we fall into sin. But immediately, God makes a promise of a deliverer who's going to redeem mankind, calls it the seed of the woman. And in the verses, in the books that come, it's the outworking of this seed. We see it being propagated through different people and different generations. And when we get to the prophets, the book of the prophets, they're basically saying there is going to come a redeemer. He's going to redeem his people one day. At the end of the Old Testament and before the New Testament starts, you get a break of about 400 years where it's silent. But when you come to the New Testament, you get that exciting start, right? The genealogy. I love it. Because they scream just telling us the promised Messiah is here. And here's the line of how you can trace him. From Adam, you can now trace him to Jesus. This was the one who was promised. And in the Gospels, we see of how Jesus lives and dies, suffers and dies for us. And also resurrects and goes to heaven. And in Acts, we are told the start of the church and how it spreads like wildfire across the countries. And in the epistles, like the letters for the apostles, we are told how to live out this faith and how to practice being a Christian. And in Revelation, we are told this Christ who came, or this Christ was promised, this Christ who came and suffered and died and rose again and ascended to the heavens is coming back. Not as a baby anymore, but as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then we skip so many years of people trying to preach this gospel and take it as far and as wide as they can go and reach to today, where the gospel is still being spoken and still being preached from day to day. But there's going to come a day when this voice that's been echoing through the ages, the Old Testament of repent, there's Christ coming, and in the New Testament of saying God is here, trust in him and be saved, there's going to be a day when this gospel, the voice will sound no more because time for that to be done. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, read, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even of angels nor the Son, but the Father only. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. That's the day when Jesus Christ comes. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 to 10, we read, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any of you should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens and the earth and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burnt up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. That's the day when Jesus Christ comes. And it might be sooner. It can be any day, right? But also, it's not only when Jesus Christ comes. It can also be the day that we die. We read in the Bible, it's only appointed for man to die once and thereafter first judgment. So there's a possibility that either Christ comes or we die first. And I love the theme of death so much. Not love it, but it's fascinating to think about because sometimes we don't give it enough thought, especially for us who are still young, still energetic and everything. We feel like we have 50 more years to come or 60 or whatever. And we just push it aside and be like, I'll think of that maybe later on in my life when I've exhausted everything that life has to offer, then I'll consider the gospel. Or I'll go on to serve Jesus Christ when, I don't know, I'm done with my career, I've earned enough money, and then I can like just retire. And instead of retiring, for some people when they retire, they think it's cool to just like go by the beach and pick up seashells and stuff. And you'll be like, I don't want to do that. For me, I want to retire, but when I do, I want to go to a different country and maybe serve there. But we forget that future that we can be imagining and looking forward to is not promised for us. Like, we can die literally anytime. Like, I've last year, I think it was, one of the preachers that I follow had his son. His son was like 20 or 22, between that range, very young son. And just one afternoon, normal afternoon, he was like just playing some sport with his friends and his fiancée as well. And he just collapsed and died, basically. People came to try to resuscitate him or anything, and they couldn't. And the kid was only 22. And you can imagine, like, wow, life can be really short. For most of us, we push on this, especially young people. We push on this this urgency that we should be having of taking the gospel, of sharing the gospel to other people, and of surrendering our lives and surrendering our wills and everything about us to the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we think we have tomorrow promised. But that day is not promised. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." This rebellion, this verse actually, originally it's taken from the Old Testament. It was given to the Israelites, and he's actually referring to the verse that we read at the very beginning in Exodus. Because in Exodus, the people of Israel are freed from the Egyptians, and they're wandering through the desert for 40 years. And the verse we read in chapter 17, it's where they come to this place, there's no water, and they almost attack Moses. "Why did you bring us here? You want us to die? We could have died in Egypt. There's better graves there and everything." And Moses, angry at them, goes to God, like, "What am I going to do with these people? They are ready to kill me right now. Do something." And God told him to do this, to go and strike the rock from which the water came from. And the people drank. But these miracles had been happening for a very long time in the lives of the Israelites. They'd seen God do things like this. But not all of them still believed in this saving grace of God. And so, even though in this instance, people were thirsty for water and they drank the water, but still some rebelled. And that's why we get this verse, that today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion or during that day of the desert. And for us, we might not have that day we might look to say, that was a day God did something great for me and I still don't care about it. But for us, we still hear the gospel over and over again. And as I said before, we push it for later years, for later dates. And I think the message today is, it's God telling us, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did maybe today when you heard someone tell you about his goodness or his love. Yesterday when maybe a thought just came to your mind of how good and gracious God is in your life, and you just pushed that thought away. But today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So, in conclusion, this message that we've received from God, this appointment that is made with us, and this mission that he's invited us to be part of going and spreading the gospel, again, I just want us to ask, to consider, like, in your own way, what are you doing to realize this mission that God is on? And in this church, if you're part of this church, how are you involved? What ministries are you part of? Are you part of a small group which seems to just train other people? You can do that in a small group. Just, you know, gather other people with you and be an encouragement to them that they can be used for the building of God's kingdom. Are you doing that? And if you are maybe called to preach or do anything, like, what is it in this season that you're in right now? What are you doing to bring God's kingdom to the rest of the world? Let us pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, that from long ago, Lord, you saw it fit to call us and to redeem us, and to also call us, Father, to be instruments that you use to spread your word and your kingdom, Father, to the rest of the world. We thank you for that honor, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that may you just use us, Father, May you give us the boldness to go out and preach your word. May you give us the words to use when we meet other people. And may you use us as instruments, Father, to just bring your word to other people. And for those, Lord, who have not yet accepted you, Lord, for those who are still on the bench, Lord, and on the sidelines just looking at you playing out this great promise that you have in the world, Lord. But I pray that may you speak to them too, Lord. Because this voice that has been echoing through the ages, this mission that you're on, Father, this call that has been spoken for a very long time, Father, there is a day when we'll not be able to respond to it anymore. And Lord, we pray that may none of us who are seated here come to a point when we regret, Lord, not having taken that moment to choose you, Lord, to surrender our lives to you and to your Lordship and to follow you. So, Lord, I pray for those who are listening right now, Father, who have not yet given their lives to you, Lord, I pray, may you touch them in your special way, Father. May you speak to them, Lord, and may you tell them, Lord, that this call will one day sound no more. And if you are here listening right now, might be online or just seated in this room, and you've not given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to remind you again that this call which has been given out, this mission that we're on, we one day seize. And if you want to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to come to the ministry table on the right that will pray with you and that will guide you through what this means and how you can live it out. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us, and thank you for your goodness and your love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.